We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
Music to my ears. Here we go. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to another scintillating episode from high above all other puerile and pedantic forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. When you hear those immortal words written some 246 years ago, it makes you question how it is that we've gotten so far away from them. Truth is, you could replace a couple words in the Declaration of Independence, and it would seem as though it had been written yesterday. One of the very first causes of actions written in the Declaration of Independence is that the king set up legislative meetings that were too far away from where people lived. The government was too far removed from the governed. Saying nothing about the laws that were written, that comes later in the Declaration. The distance was too great for people to travel to interact with their government. Think about it. That's one of the very first things that's listed. And now most of us believe if we live 500 miles away from our government, that's not far enough. We live in a time that is exactly the opposite of 1776, and yet we refuse to look at the answers that our founders wrote for us. In Wyoming, it is easier to interact with our government than it is in any other state. All you have to do is go to Cheyenne, walk in the front doors of the Capitol building, up a couple flights of stairs, and you'll have a front row seat to everything that's happening in the legislature. You'll probably even get introduced. If your representative notices that you're in the gallery, he'll introduce you to the entire floor. Unless, of course, you are me and your representative is Barry Crago from House District 40. Out of all of the times I've been watching these folks in our Capitol building, he's never taken the time to introduce me to his red-coated buddies. But I digress. The point is, in Wyoming, it's far easier to interact with your government than anywhere else. And yet, in our state, we can't even get half of the population to show up and vote. Maybe because we don't teach how important it is. This morning, I'm going to play for you an event I had the pleasure of being invited to participate in last Thursday. A group of men calling themselves the Sons of Freedom put on what they called a Constitution Bee. Yeah, this is the same group that former Senator Alan Simpson is all aghast about. A group of dangerous men who want the Constitution to be taught in Park County schools. How terrifying. Well, they would be dangerous if your name is Alan Simpson and you've been working behind the scenes to get Democrats elected. So the Sons of Freedom approached the Park County School District and inquired about the instruction in the Constitution and the Constitution of the state of Wyoming. And they were told that there is no specific instruction on those two documents. When the Sons of Freedom asked the superintendent of public instruction there in Park County if such a program could be started, he refused. So they did what all citizens should do. They took it upon themselves to start their own type of program. And it began in the form of what they called a Constitution Bee. And I'm going to play it for you here in just a second. But first, some totally egregious self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There, you can find all of the shows, as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If you're the Park County Superintendent of Public Instruction and you have no idea what the Constitution is, well, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, click on a link, and order yourself a copy. So the Sons of Freedom set up this Constitution Bee, and basically it took the form of a game show. They invited high school seniors to participate in a competition to win $2,000 in cash prizes. And actually, kind of an aside note, the prizes were either silver or cash. No surprise that the students decided to take the cash instead of the silver. In any case, there were three judges that were asking a series of questions directly related to the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and this country's founding. It was my pleasure to be one of the judges and to be asked to read the entire Declaration of Independence. Now, I haven't played the entire thing for you because it's over an hour and a half long, but this will give you an idea of how the event went.
And we thank you all for coming. If you would please stand and remove cover. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this assembly. We thank you for these fine young men that have stepped up for this competition. We thank you for this republic and for the founding fathers who risked everything they had, including their lives. We thank you for an empty cross and an empty tomb. Bless this event, that it be to your glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Pledge of allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, you may be seated. Thank you. I'd like to introduce Andres Vasquez, our president, who is going to say a few words about Sons of Freedom.
I'd like to welcome you all here. You may be able to tell I am recovering, but I'm on the good side of the recovery. Again, just to welcome you all here. For those of you that are not familiar with our club, the Sons of Liberty. I'm sorry, not Sons of Freedom. What used to be called the Clark County Republican Men's Club. It is for men, but too many people confused the name Republican with being affiliated in some official sense with the Republican Party, and we are not, although most of us are Republican. For those of you that aren't familiar at all with this, we have both a mission statement and a purpose. The club's purpose is that the club exists to provide support and camaraderie for our members as we lead those entrusted by God to our care, as we examine the institutions and leaders around us, and as we seek to inform them of the ways and means of conduct and leadership to which God has called all mankind as expressed in His Word, the Bible. Then more specifically, we have a mission statement tonight is part of, where we affirm that the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of these United States has created are the finest documents of their kind in the history of mankind. We shall support any legislation and promote all candidates for public office that remain faithful to the founding principles secured in them. And it is in quotes, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Anyway, I want to just introduce our judges and then our contestants. I will be one of the judges, and I'm Andres Vasquez. And to my right is Mark Thompson, and to his right is David Iverson. And Robin,
I'm not a judge.
Barry will be operating the electronics for us. And then our three contestants are Bradley Fick, who was labeled as Frick, but he indicated, no, that's not how my name is spelled. So you can notice it's not quite in the same blockiness as the other names. And then another contestant is Hunter Hall and Rylan Coop.
Knopp.
Forgive me. Nobody can pronounce my name either, so I can understand the problems. Anyway, that's just a little bit of who we are, and I think we are about ready to begin. Do you have any other words? Okay.
A little bit about who these folks are. Andres is a retired engineer, as you can tell. Mark is an attorney here in Cody. He's also on the Stampede board, faithful family member. And David Iverson is in charge, CEO, the entire shebang of Cowboy State Politics, which is a podcast that you can hear on the internet. And I highly advise that you go listen to what he has to say.
I wish he was on Speaker Pete.
Me too.
Rylan Knopp moved here from Virginia last year, and he's looking to study economics at UW, and he practices mixed martial arts and also plays competitive chess. Bradley Fick, born and raised in Cody, plays golf and swims for Cody High School, and he also plays competitive chess, probably with Rylan, and he's intending to go. Well, we'll see. Now, probably what we should do after this is we'll have a chess competition.
Next week, yeah.
I'll play everybody.
Well, yeah. Right.
You know what? I played chess. When I was your age at the Renaissance Festival that I was involved with down in Texas. And this guy, it cost you $5 to play. And he had a round table like this. And he just went around and around and around. And he had like seven or eight people around his table. All these games going on. And he wouldn't even stop. He'd look there and get that. And he never lost a match. I've only beat him.
Yeah, I'm actually playing in one.
Are you that good?
Well, I'm not that. I'm the guy on the outside of the table. I'm actually playing in one next week in Sheridan. I'm going to be one of the 25 that gets beat.
Well,
you never know.
Bradley may go to UW or he may go to Boise State in astrophysics. Hunter Hall grew up in Rome, Georgia, so he's a fellow Southerner, and moved here about 3 years ago. He plays golf and plans to attend college and get a business degree. And I will also tell you that bathrooms are a problem. They're over there. So this is the space.
If you got to go, I'll talk.
Naturally. We're going to have three segments to this competition. It's going to be real easy, a little harder, and then a hard one. So there'll be a break probably about every 15 minutes that we'll do. And please silence your cell phones. I want to thank everybody that brought treats, especially the aluminum bowl there, probably almost empty. This is McMillan block. It's in dire need of filling, but if you want one, you better get one right now. I would like to acknowledge all the parents, grandparents, relatives of these fine young men. If you would just raise your hand or whatever, and everybody give them a... Now, how this is going to work is that the three judges have questions, and they will divide those questions up between the three of them. They will ask a question. If they know the answer before that question is asked, then they're going to stop, and the contestant's going to answer the question. If he answers it correctly, he gets a mark. If he answers it incorrectly, he loses a mark, even to the negative. All right? After that, then the judge will finish that question if he didn't get to ask the whole thing, so that you have the benefit to know what the question was. Some of these items will be like Jeopardy. They will be the answer, and they have to give the question. So it's not all the same. It's going to be a little mixed up in that regard. There's going to be questions regarding the Constitution primarily, but there will be questions about quotes from famous people. There will be questions about the Declaration of Independence, specific dates as they apply to the Constitution. So there's going to be a lot of stuff that you may not know, hopefully. Let's get started. Oh, the tea is not that's regular tea. You don't have to cut it or anything. So if you get tea out of the tea buckets, just go ahead and fill your cup up. And during the breaks, go get snacks. After we're done, get snacks. Hopefully you don't carry anything home. All right. We are fighting for $2,000 money, real money. First prize is going to be $1,000, second prize is going to be $600, third prize is $400. So these guys have already made $400. One of them is going to make $200 more, the other one's going to double that. Okay. All right, so we will start with the judges and let it begin.
One other person I forgot to introduce as our own Dan Larson, who will be keeping score for us.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Dan.
And Tim French, your senator, and Rachel Rodriguez, who is your representative. And
okay, are we ready? First question. How can the president reject a bill?
Number one.
By vetoing it, either through a direct veto or he can wait for 7 days to veto it.
That's no.
That is correct.
The mic's turned up louder.
Show.
Well, okay. I can't turn both of them, but if you guys want to speak into the mics, better, yeah.
Is that good? Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, speak into the mic.
All right, here's the next question. What are three of the rights granted in the Fifth Amendment?
Number one.
Those are the right to not be placed in double jeopardy, the right not to testify against yourself, and the right to a grand jury.
That is correct. Do you know what your rights are?
For brevity, we're going to save all of our spontaneous applause to the break. Thank you.
It would be just compensation for government taking property, and I said double jeopardy, grand jury, against yourself, and
biggest one of all.
Right. Due process. Due process, yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Wait a minute, that goes over here to Mr.
Yeah, that was Ryland. Ryland
got that last one.
I needed three.
Okay, question number three. Where do we find the right to peaceably assemble?
Number three.
The First Amendment.
Yes, that's correct.
Mr. Hall, Mr. Kintal, come on.
Fourth question. What is granted to us by our Creator in the Declaration of Independence?
Certain unalienable rights, among these are life, liberty, and
personhood. Are we ready for the next one? What right do you have under the Second Amendment?
The right to bear arms.
Correct.
That is correct.
You guys can talk loud.
I will talk loud. I know I have my voice.
Okay, question number six. Who is the commander-in-chief?
The President of the United States.
This is not in the Constitution, but I might add that the President is not Commander-in-Chief of the country. He is only Commander-in-Chief of the military. So, Mr. Biden cannot command us to do things.
You just gave the answer to the next question.
Could you speak in your microphone?
Move it closer.
Could you wait?
Okay, I will try.
Okay, we're gonna give a present to everybody for that question. Give everybody.
Everybody gets a point.
Yeah. Yeah. Since we can, give everybody a point.
Okay.
Because we kind of fell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
You
got a point.
Let's take a quick break from the action and pay some bills. This is Wyoming's most listened to political podcast, and it's brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding, or a garage, or a barn, or a roping arena, or a giant warehouse, or any other type of metal building that you could possibly think up, well, you need to call my friends Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings, 307-674-2532. These guys are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they certainly do it better than anybody else around. The truth is, you've probably seen a lot of their work along the highways and byways of Wyoming and not even known it, because their work stands the test of time. You'll get a 50-year warranty on the foundation, which is something you won't get from any other company. So, if you need a building, doesn't matter what type it is, call Nick or Jesse at 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Right now is the highest we've ever seen gun markets, and the best performers are the vintage collectible firearms, Colts, Winchesters, and rare military weapons. Over in Cody, Gunrunner Auctions is one of the nation's leading online auction houses. They have over 40,000 bidders in all 50 states. It doesn't matter what type of gun you're looking for, Gunrunner Auctions has it. They've sold the personal firearms of Elvis Presley, Steve McQueen, Alex McCord, and Herb Parsons, just to name a few. Their specialty is estate firearms. Scott Weber, the owner, first travels to the estate and he appraises the firearms for the heirs and then takes them to his Cody auction facility where the guns are researched and then put up for auction. Every month, beginning on the 7th, Scott and his team post 500 rare firearms for sale. All of the auctions begin at $20 with no reserve, and they only charge 15% to sell your precious firearms. That's GunrunnerAuctions.com. Don't forget about the Cowboys State Politics Facebook page. Of course, I'll post all of the episodes there, but also anything I find during the course of the week that I think you might be interested in. And now, back to the program.
Next question. A presidential term is how long?
4 years long.
Correct.
That is correct.
Question number 8. What are the qualifications for someone to be president?
You must be a resident of the United States for 14 years, be a natural born United States citizen, and be 35 years old or older.
That's correct.
That is correct.
The first three articles of the Constitution describe what?
The three branches of government, the legislative, executive, and judicial branches.
Correct. Question number 14. How does the Constitution begin?
We the people of the United States. Do you want more?
We're good.
Okay, question 15. How many senators are there from each?
Number two.
Two.
Correct. The question was, how many senators are there from each state?
Two.
Yes, not 100.
All right, that ends the first section. So if you need to go. The question is asked, and buzzers go off before it's over, then the question is over, and they answer. We found that out that that didn't really work real well because they didn't hear the true-false part at the end of that question. After that question has been answered correctly or incorrectly, then the judge will read the entire question, not to give them another chance, because whatever their answer is, it is. Okay? This is our first attempt at this, and there are going to be some little rough spots, but we've done it all in good faith. So bear with us if we kind of hit a bump. All right, so we are starting with section number 2.
Gentlemen, the first question in segment 2 is, what are the rights granted in the Fourth Amendment?
So it's about probable cause needed for a warrant and no unnecessary searches or seizures. Unreasonable.
Correct.
What amendment gives you the right to a speedy and public trial claim?
The Sixth.
I was going to say the Sixth Amendment anyway, but the Sixth Amendment.
Yes.
Right, and I do have one more announcement. But Bradley breaks that in the process. He doesn't get to play anymore.
If the buzzer doesn't work, you don't get to answer the question.
I mean, I could like throw it. Okay. Or like run up there and be like, I'm in.
Okay, number 3.
Wait for me before you answer.
No excessive bail.
Eighth Amendment. What is the Eighth Amendment?
That's correct.
No, yeah, wait a minute. My machine reset. Okay.
Question 4. Who was the president of the continent?
George Washington.
Correct. And the full question was, who was the president of the Continental Convention of 1787?
I could have got dangerous.
Yes, I'm ready.
What is the right granted in the 15th Amendment?
The right to vote regardless of your race.
Correct.
I can't understand what we're going to say.
Number 6. What amendment created the income tax?
That was a bit aggressive.
The 16th Amendment.
That's correct.
Okay, let me give you two guys a little both. Yeah. See what he keeps us in. You can keep his hand on the table.
Oh, but you can? I thought it was on lap.
No, I said you couldn't hold it over.
Oh, okay.
Like that. There you go. So everybody, you don't have to reach from under the table.
Yeah, because that adds a lot more velocity. Because I have so much more time.
These guys will be consultants next year. So that we get all...
Well, you can do it Jeffy style and give us like a hand buzzer. So like...
Oh, like a...
Yeah, press it and it registers.
I'll see what I can do.
Like cast a mix.
Yeah.
Okay, number 18. The 13th Amendment abolished slavery. It was not ratified until December of 1865, only 8 months after General Lee's, almost 8 months after General Lee's surrender. True or false?
True.
That's correct.
That would be the end of our second session. Now, for a little break, is read the Declaration of Independence. I read this at my house every 4th of July, and I think it's something that too many Americans just gloss over. Oh, we're going to have 4th of July, we're going to have fireworks and watermelon and ice cream, and we lose sight of why we really celebrate that day. And so David is going to read us the Declaration of Independence as it was read across this country to the colonist states.
I'll try to do this without choking up. So in Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government, that whenever a form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance, unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained, and when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend them. He has refused to pass laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby legislative powers incapable of annihilation have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all dangers of invasion from without and convulsions from within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us, in times of peace, standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render military independent of and superior to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. for cornering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment by any murderer for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments, for suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coast, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens, taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have a petition for redress in most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in friends, in peace, friends. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for rectitude of our intentions do, in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, and that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free, independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. If I could have, if you've never read the first draft of the Declaration of Independence, you should really look it up. It's really amazing.
Just like at the Sons of Freedom Constitution B, if we don't like the way our government is handling things, it's up to us to change them. If we don't like that the schools aren't teaching the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence, well then we should set that up for our students and teach it for ourselves. And, you know, maybe defund the Department of Education a little bit. At the end of the event, first place was $1,000 cash, second place was $600, and third place was $400. Cash money. If you'd like to hear how the whole event went, let me know. I'll get you a copy of it. A couple of quick program notes before I sign off for this morning. Beginning on next Wednesday's program, we'll start the Wyoming Governor Candidate Forum here on Cowboys State Politics. I've got interviews with all of the people running to unseat Governor Gordon and an interview with Governor Gordon himself. Those candidates are Brent Behan, James Quick, and Rex Rammel. Trust me, all of the interviews are really interesting. So we'll start that next Wednesday, and we'll probably play two a week. Also very soon, I'll have another interview with Harriet Hegeman. Well, that'll about do it for today. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.